Welcome to the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show, where we speak with elite individuals and top performers and sing what it takes to stay healthy and get wealthy. Are you ready to be elite? Are you ready to be part of the 1%? Well, then without further ado, let's get it. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. I'm your host, Chase Henderfit, and today we have another young stunner and elite entrepreneur on the show. This one's going to be really cool because I connected with this guy. We were just talking before. It's been a year and a half since we actually connected. And the progress he's made since the beginning is astronomical. I mean, he is the 4X phenom on the rise. He actually even wrote a book called The Fundamentals of 4X. And now he's turning into a credit wizard. Please help me welcome Mr. Evan Jenkins. Evan, how are you doing today, big guy?
I'm doing awesome, brother. I appreciate the introduction there, and it's really a blessing just to see, like when we got connected, what was it, like July of 2018 or something?
Yeah.
And then just to see where we both are now, you know, you're running this podcast. I've been wanting to do this for a while, so I'm just super stoked to be here.
Bet, man. Yeah, dude, I'm super stoked that, you know, we stayed in contact for that long, you know, year and a half, just kind of on and off, and then boom, now we're here today. It's an absolutely incredible. So for those of you who are listening to the show right now, for those that don't know who you are, Evan, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little about who you are and, you know, what's really led you to where you are today?
So I'm 23 years old. I got started trading Forex about probably like a year and 8 months ago. So I haven't even really been trading like too long. I live in Denver, and I've just been kicking it here. I lived in San Francisco for a little bit. But what really got me introduced to trading was actually a buddy of mine who told me to invest in Bitcoin like 3 years ago or something. And I didn't really like believe in like it at the time. I didn't even know what it was. He was telling me about like these coins or whatever. And at the time they were like $600. I think it was like January of 2017, I think. And 6 months later he had hit me up and he was like, yo, Bitcoin's at like $3,000. And I was like, what's Bitcoin? I was like, is that the stuff you were telling me about like back in January or whatever? I was like, $600? And he's like, yeah. And he had a full coin. And I was like, so you turned $600 into $3,000 just for doing nothing. And like, I didn't know anything about like investing. I didn't know anything. I was actually living in California at the time and didn't have like too much money to invest in like a full Bitcoin. But so later on, it was like November, and he's like, dude, like Bitcoin's at like almost like $10,000. And I was like, well, hold up. Like, like, you need to tell me. At the beginning of the year, this thing was $600 and now it's like $10,000. That was like when Bitcoin was going crazy. And then like the next month, it shot up to like $20,000. But November, he was like, dude, you got to get invested into this. Like, yeah, I was like, all right, well, I mean, like if you're seeing like crazy returns like this, like I'll throw like $110 into it or whatever. And so I, not even knowing what I was doing, I was able to turn like $110 into like, I think it was like $1,000 and like a little bit over like a month and a half. And I lost it later, but just because I didn't know what I was doing. But what was funny was I was watching Bitcoin fluctuate from like 8,000 to 10,000, like in like a couple of days. And I was like, man, if you could just catch Bitcoin at 8,000 and then just cash out at like 10,000 and make, you know, $2,000 profit in like a day or two or something. I mean, like that's like, you know, some people make in almost like a month, you know? And so I was just like racking my brain. I was like, man, like, how do you figure this out? I was like kind of watching charts, still didn't know anything. And one of my mentors at the time, Boston Chopra, we were in a network marketing company together called Enagic. And he was telling me about this company called iMarkets Live. And I was really what it like got me started into trading. But so he was telling me more about it. He was like, yeah, people are trading these currencies. I got one of my buddies who's actually just making a killing just doing this stuff. And I was like sold just from right there, because it was like, he was everything that I was like looking for. It was like going to teach me all the skill sets that I needed to learn. Like, you know, like when I was watching Bitcoin fluctuate and stuff like that. I actually don't trade any crypto. I'm just buying and holding like long-term right now. But so he was telling me, you know, a lot of people were just getting together. It's this big community of traders and they were just teaching people how to trade. And I thought it was like a perfect opportunity. And just to, you know, you could start with like $50, $100, $500, like whatever was comfortable. So I started an account, I think with like $500 was my first account, and just started trading on that. And I blew that account later. But that's really how I got started into trading, was just watching my buddy who was telling me about Bitcoin. And then I invested into Bitcoin, turned the $100 into like $1,000 or whatever. And then my buddy hit me up to get started with iMarkets Live. I got started with iMarkets Live, and I later had left the company because I realized I didn't need, you know, to, it's kind of like a job, and you don't really need to take with trading. It's so unique, you know, because you don't have anybody managing you. There's an unlimited potential amount of money that you can make. You can do it from anywhere in the world as long as you have like a computer and just some trading software. And yeah, I just saw the potential. So I didn't see the reason to stay in the network marketing company. And so I left that later and then just pursued like more mentorship. And I actually just made it a goal of mine just to keep learning and progressing and stuff like that. Just keep reading trading books, investing books. I've got a couple mentors around me right now who are like just absolutely just crushing the game and starting to notice some pretty cool results. Just rubbing elbows with them.
That's dope. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot from your progression from the beginning to the end. There's definitely a lot of key points that really show towards, you know, the eventual rise to success that you've seen over the past year and a half, you know, learning from other people who have done it, you know, going into, you know, actually network marketing, like seeing how they do it and seeing working and processing whatever within that, kind of teaching you all the skills you need to learn, and then going off on your own, finding more mentors. That's awesome. How do you find these mentors, by the way? Has it been like purely from the networks that you kind of cultivated within those companies, or was it like, how'd you go about doing that?
Solely through Instagram. Honestly, that's actually how I met my credit mentor, Jeff Seckinger. And I had actually tried to enroll Jeff into a network marketing company. We were working together in a network marketing company. So it was pretty funny. And so I met my credit mentor through Instagram. I met my current mentor, Duran Carter, through Instagram, through actually a buddy who I met on Instagram as well too, who lived in Las Vegas. And I never even met that kid, and actually started like a trading, like a mentorship program with the kid. And then he was like, yo, this is the kid who taught me how to trade. And he was trading quite a bit better than me. So I wanted to just kind of pick his brain. But then he told me about Duran, and then I got invested with Duran. I really liked his strategy and his style. And then that's kind of how I got introduced to more people like in the trading community. And I just noticed the more that I post about trading, the more people who, you know, trade or just like to interact with like my posts, because we're doing some pretty cool stuff in the trading community. I got, you know, a couple buddies, my buddy Alfredo and my buddy Wakar, who lives in Madrid, Spain, and Alfredo lives in Texas. And I got connected through them through Instagram. And I really think 2020, we're gonna do some pretty cool stuff in the trading community and just really switch up the game a lot. Instagram is just such a powerful tool to connect. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes it's like, it's just kind of like overwhelming, you know, so I just need to like take a break sometimes. And there's a lot of people that aren't like super authentic on Instagram, but super powerful tool. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're trying to find mentors, ask around in the community, figure out who's actually doing what you want to do. See, you know, kind of watch them for a little bit, watch what they're posting, see if it's authentic. You know, you can kind of tell people are really good at figuring out, I think now, especially like who's authentic and genuine, who's not. So if you're looking for, you know, a mentor in any space, fitness, credit, Forex, for example, just do some digging, ask around, and look for results. Because if you do what people do, you say what they say, you take action on what they do, there's a pretty good chance that, you know, you'll have like the results that they get too. Because, you know, I got started with Jeff's credit program like 4 months ago. I posted this on my Instagram story. My credit score was like a 670 or something. I had like one credit card. Fast forward 4 months later, I've got, I think, like 12 or 13 credit cards or something like that, and over like $100,000 access to. I'm doing some pretty cool stuff with that. And yeah, I'm not using them all. I know it sounds crazy. It sounded crazy when Jeff was like, you need all these accounts to get like a perfect score. And I was like, you're out of your mind. And then like I kind of just listened to him a little bit more and saw what he was doing and using these credit cards to move high interest debt, which is actually what I did. So I had a little bit of credit card debt that I was paying like 24% interest on, which is absolutely insane. So for example, if you have $10,000 in credit card debt and you're paying, you know, 22, 26% interest, and you pay the minimum monthly payment every single month, it will take you probably like 5 to 6 years to pay off that $10,000. But you'll end up paying in interest about $40,000, which is absurd. So, wow. Jeff taught me how to apply for a bunch of different 0% cards, and I didn't even mean to do all the stuff that I'm doing now. I just thought that Jeff was traveling school for free, and I was like, dude, like I want to learn how to travel for free. And so I got a couple travel cards, but I got a lot of 0%. Moved that $6,000 of debt that I had 0%. I'm gonna pay all that off probably like 2-3 months or so, and then start doing some cool stuff with like ATMs and Amazon dropshipping stores and things like that.
Damn, just full online entrepreneur right here.
2020 is gonna be wild. I'm excited.
No, I'm excited for you. I'm just hearing about all this stuff's crazy. And yeah, I mean, like when it comes to the credit card stuff, like when because I know he had come on, because I think we talked about this. I'm part of like that SocialX community, and he had come on for a call and was talking about like the breakdown of credit. And I'm sitting there because we've been taught like, oh, more credit cards is bad, but you know, it's more credit cards actually helps your credit score in the end. It's just a matter of, you know, a lot of people use it for the wrong thing, so that's why their credit ends up being bad because they go into debt, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, oh, it's that stuff's insane. And then now you're going to be doing ATMs and Amazon FBA. And you're all over the map, crushing everywhere.
Well, it sounds, yeah. So that's one thing. I just kind of want to take it one step at a time. Obviously Forex is like my bread and butter. Like I said, I didn't even really mean to mess around with like credit or anything like that. It's kind of just something that happened just because I was looking for a way just to rack up some travel points and just travel for free. And then I just learned about, you know, all the different ways that you can actually create income through credit cards, which just blew my mind. Cause I never heard anybody creating income through credit cards. So the ATMs and the Amazon dropshipping stores, those would be like 100% hands-off residual income. So, you know, I'll have income coming from like ATMs and Amazon stores. And then really like with Forex, what I really want to do is maybe just open up like a mentorship program. I had started a course before, so I'm probably going to redo my course and then start pushing that a little bit more. And then do like a closer like group coaching, maybe take like 10 students on at a time and really just figure out like where they're at and maybe make it like a full, you know, like 3 to 4 month like mentorship program where it's just laid out. And then I've also obviously got my book where I'm just pushing that out just for free, just to introduce people about Forex. Cause I think a lot of people are really afraid of Forex because they don't know what it is. You know, it's kind of like credit cards. Like a lot of people are taught that credit cards are bad. And when they hear Forex, they can immediately think stocks. And when they think stocks, they think of crashes and everybody losing money and things like that. So I really wrote the fundamentals of Forex just to kind of open up people's eyes and kind of break down the walls that people built up around investing and things like that.
True. Yeah, I was about to bring up, you know, because a lot of people look at Forex, either they're scared of it because they don't know what it is, or they, you know, there's tons and tons of these like Forex like bot accounts, so they kind of put a bad name on people who are in Forex, like actually doing the right thing and the real thing. You know, but you wrote this book, Fundamentals of Forex, that kind of opened people's minds up. What was the main reason behind writing it? Was it to kind of help people introduce them into Forex? I mean, or what was like the main reason to really, you know, take the initiative to write that book?
When I wrote the Fundamentals of Forex, I think I wrote it actually this time last year, so it wasn't even that long ago. But the reason that I had wrote it was because I was also working on a course, and it was kind of like a stepping stone into the course because I wanted people to go through the book, and it's literally just the fundamentals. Like it's stuff that you can go onto Google or YouTube and just find for free. But I just took all the information and just compacted it into one book because the thing that I had noticed was that it's like learning a new language. And so there's a barrier there when you're talking about like pips and lots and leverage and brokers and trying to find like good brokers and things like that. So I wrote the Fundamentals of Forex kind of like it as like an introduction into like my course. And then that way, when they go through the Fundamentals of Forex, then they can go through my course, kind of hit the ground running so that we're not spending too much time on like terminology. And then in my course, then they can actually learn like strategies and then actually learn how to trade. And then once they finish the course, then I had like a group chat to kind of like fill in the holes like with the course, ask any questions to me. And so that's really like why I wrote the Fundamentals of Forex. And then it kind of turned into people just started asking me for it just because they didn't know what Forex was. And I was just, I still am giving it away. I haven't made a dime off my book.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I love that too. Is like, you know, you started off as just like a free offering, which is just, it's good for getting people just in the door, which is awesome. And it helps them, you know, it builds trust too. because now they know you know what you're talking about and you gave them something of huge value for free. So now they're probably sitting there going like, okay, well, he's taught me all this right now in this little book. Like, what more can he teach me afterwards?
Yep. Yeah. And it's, there's so much information on Google and YouTube that it can kind of get like convoluted. So, you know, you can go from like one YouTube video teaching about like something basic. And then just like with YouTube's algorithm, they'll teach you, you know, you'll hop into like a video of someone teaching you a strategy. But if you don't even know like what a candlestick is or even how to read like charts at all, then you're just going to be totally lost. So that, I guess, you know, the book kind of just helps to just kind of easing into getting in, you know, getting your feet wet with Forex and see if it's something that, you know, people even want to do.
Right. So when it comes to, you know, people who are just getting into Forex, what are some of those, I guess, fundamentals that are like, you know, basic concepts that people really do need to know when it comes to getting involved and pursuing and trading from then on?
Terminology, like I said before. So it's like, when you're talking about different words that people never heard before, or even just like what a candlestick is, because when it literally is like learning a language. Like when I show someone a chart, they're like, dude, this looks like Japanese to me. So it's really just breaking down and making that like less scary and showing them, hey, this is what a candlestick is. This is like the open of the candle. This is like what it means, like what the open of a candle means, what the close of a candle means, support and resistance. Just like when markets go up, they hit a ceiling, then they come back down, they hit a floor, then they go up again. You know, so it's just breaking down large terms into just like manageable bites, and then actually going into so it's like building a house, right? So you need to build your foundation first, and then you can actually learn into going into like a strategy, and then from a strategy from there, then you can actually go into psychology. Psychology is absolutely the biggest thing when you're trading Forex. A lot of people kind of get shiny object syndrome. And what I mean by that is they'll go from like one strategy to another strategy to another strategy to another strategy, because they believe, you know, that, you know, once I get this strategy, then I'll be profitable. But what it is your psychology. And this is what I love about Forex too. It's like, it changed me so much as a person. I don't get FOMO anymore, like fear of missing out. Like I don't, and like fear, greed, just like over leveraging, things like that, just taught me so much. And so once you actually learn like your foundation, to actually like learning the terms and everything, then you get your strategy and you actually stick with that strategy and learn the ins and outs of it. And then you can work on your psychology. So it's really a process, right? So you're building a house when you're trading Forex.
Right. So when you say psychology, what exactly do you mean by that? Like the psychology of the strategy you're using, or psychology of like what kind of mindset you need while you trade?
Psychology is a in-depth topic for sure. I know that when I first started trading, you know, I would just enter trades just to enter trades. One of the biggest things that you'll hear me talk about, like I'm on my Instagram, is risk rewards. So actually identifying like what is a good setup and what's not a good setup. You know, just because price is at a certain level doesn't mean that you should just buy or sell the currency. You know, greed is one thing that takes people out all the time. It's kind of what I had to learn when I was first trading, because you know, I would over leverage. I would risk literally like my whole account just on one trade. And it works for a little bit, you know, so you'll win like two or three winning trades, and you'll turn $500 into like $1,500 in a couple hours. And then the next day you'll just lose that whole $1,500. So, that aspect to like greed or even fear, you know, people, you know, you can get losing streaks in Forex, and, that'll really like, make someone nervous to enter trades. But with Forex, you just need to be so balanced, because if you see your setup, you need to take your setup every single time. Excuse me, my throat's getting a little bit dry. One thing that, you know, I've really been trying to work on is going from like a trade by trade basis to going to like a series of trades. And what I mean by that, it takes a lot of emotion out of investing. And because investing really is just how well you can control your emotions. It's why Warren Buffett is so good at investing, is because he understands the psychology aspect to it. And so going from a trade by trade basis to a series of trades, it eliminates fear, eliminates greed, eliminates fear of missing out, you know, every time you see your setup, you need to be able to take it without fear or any kind of conflict inside of you. Because you don't know, truly anybody who trades doesn't know if that trade is going to be a winner or a loser. But it comes back to your strategy. You should know at least like the percent that you win, how big your winners are, how big your losers are. You really need to know like the whole system inside and out. So when you go from like a trade by trade basis, a lot of people get caught up in the emotion. They'll win a trade. They'll get super high. They'll get a trader's high. And then they'll risk their whole account on that third trade. And then that's usually like, you know, the third or fourth trade that's like that ends up being the loser is that what takes them out. And then they say, you know, Forex doesn't work. This is a scam. You know, this is, you know, nobody actually makes money from this stuff. But like when you go like a series of trades and you actually calculate your risk before every trade, you take a lot of emotion out because you can actually calculate how much you lose, right? So that's what I do before every single trade is I calculate, you know, how big my account is. I take 2% of my account and I place the trade, and I don't know if it's going to be a winner or a loser, but since you can control your losses, then I know that I'm going to lose, you know, $200, $300, $400, but I'm also aiming to make anywhere from like, you know, $1,000 to like $1,500 to like $2,000, like on these trades. So I can, you know, if I lose three times in a row, well, then I know maybe that fourth or fifth trade will be a winner. And so, you know, you really need to look at it like over the next, you know, 20 trades that, you know, you'll probably win, you know, say like 10 to 12 of them, you'll probably lose 8 of them. You just don't know when they're going to come. You don't know when those losing streaks are going to come, when those winning streaks are going to come. So you can take a lot of emotion out of it by going into like a series of trades, like mindset, which again, just takes out like, you know, greed. Because if you're calculating your risk, then you're also going to get rid of fear, because you know you have to define your risk, because you need to know how much you're going to lose. It's like it's kind of like going to the casino. You know, when you have like $100, you're kind of expecting to lose that money. You know, like it's nothing that you're going to be like attached to. And it should be the same with Forex, but a lot of people get caught up because, you know, they see a lot of people winning and they just feel like they deserve to win as well too. So they put money into an account and then they get all emotional when they take a loss. You know, and then they think that they need to make that money back, which is also like another aspect too, which is called like revenge trading. You know, I could talk about psychology all day. You know, they lose three trades and then they're like, oh crap, like I'm down three trades. Like this next one needs to be a winner. And then they start forcing trades. You know, then they start revenge trading, trying to make back all those losers. And then it just absolutely just destroys their accounts, you know, just, and it's, that is really the stuff that you need to work out, because, you know, I really believe that, you know, you can give anybody a strategy and they can make it work if they have the right psychology behind it, you know, and you can also give someone the best trading strategy in the world that will win 90% of the time. But if their psychology isn't on point, they'll blow their account every single time. So I really say, you know, people who get into Forex, 10% of it is really actually the strategy that you're trading. You know, about 20% is your money management, right? So calculating your risk. You know, determining when you should be trading that week, if you should be trading that week or that day or that month. And then also like your psychology is like 70% of trading. So 10% is the actual strategy, 20% is actual money management, and then 70% is your actual psychology.
Damn. All right. Yep. Okay. So just, I want to kind of recap everything, because that was a lot of really good stuff. So when it comes to trading and everything, so you got like 10% of it is the strategy itself, making sure you can find a strategy that, you know, has been shown to work, but, it, you know, it as long as you stay on track with that strategy, it should work, you know, in your favor. But that is only so if you learn how to manage the money, so you know when you should be putting your money in, when you should take your money out, if you should be trading at all that day or whatever, like you were saying. But the main thing really just comes down to the mindset, because you're going to see this kind of up and down kind of flow. You'll see wins, you'll see losses, you'll see wins, you'll see losses, but you can't attach yourself emotionally to those wins and losses, but you have to stick to the plan and stick to the series. Then over time, you'll see an uptrend.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's like,
oh yeah, go for it.
So like the other thing I wanted to point out too, is like people who are trading, you know, they'll take those three losses and then they get scared. Right. So like they'll get kind of gun shy and then they won't place that fourth trade. And then they'll look back at the charts and the trade, it's most often the time the trade that works out perfectly, that would have completely just like, either like broke even with those losses or even gained profits. You know, and so money management too is calculating your risk and also just looking at risk rewards, right? So kind of like what I was talking about, every time I enter a trade, I make sure that my wins are at least like 5 to 20 times bigger than my losses. So, and that also kind of comes back to your psychology too, which eliminates a lot of fear, because I know that I can lose, you know, 10 to 12 trades before I even break even with one winner, which gives people a lot of confidence. Because if you are investing into something that you know you can take losses, and it only takes one winner to break even with all those losses and even profit on top of that, and then you take another winning trade, and then you just did, you know, 10, 15, 20% of your account for one trade, you know, that just, it just gives people a lot of confidence too. So, ton of, you know, that, like I said, that the actual strategy that people trade, like really doesn't matter, as long as they just backtest it. And backtesting is just really just practicing going over historical data and learning the ins and outs of their trading strategy, what works, what doesn't work, what's a good signal to get into a trade, when's a good signal to get out of a trade, everything like that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to Forex than I thought there was in the beginning.
Oh, Forex is a beast, for sure.
That's wild. Yeah. And this is taking you like the full like year and a half kind of to really learn and process everything.
Yeah. So this trading book that I'm reading now, actually this dude talks about how he was trading like stocks and options for 5 years, and just completely blew through like $20,000 for 5 years. It was I think he grew up in like a small town in like India, just grew up from like absolutely nothing, but just stuck with it, said like he'd never been more depressed in his life, more sad. Actually quit trading for like a year during that like 5 year time period. And then he like went back into it, figured he'd give it like another try, and actually learned, you know, a lot about like the psychology about like trading. And where I'm going with this is that a lot of people want like a get rich quick scheme, because, you know, when you're looking at charts, it's when you're trading Forex, it trades $6 trillion every single day. So there's $6 trillion flowing in and out of the foreign exchange market, which is, you know, you take, you know, $100,000, you know, a lot of people see like, you know, money bags just on their screen. And so they think it's a get rich quick scheme. They place a trade, they win it. They think that, you know, they can become a full-time trader the next day, and then they end up losing everything. So I think Forex is kind of gets a bad rep, because a lot of people approach it as like a get rich quick scheme, when it actually takes people, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, in some cases 10 years to actually master and learn it. And a lot of that process is learning yourself. I've learned so much about myself through my trading. You know, like emotions, like when I get like angry, when I want a revenge trade, you know, like I even notice those emotions like in day-to-day life. You know, someone cuts me off in traffic, I want to flip them off, cuss them out, everything like that. And then I can feel those emotions and really just kind of like counteract it, just be like, okay, cool, like I understand that that's just emotion, it's just gonna pass, right? Because so a lot of trading is really just understanding yourself, and a lot of people don't take the time to understand themselves, which is where a lot of people fail in trading.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of people fail at everything. It really comes down to just self-awareness. You need to know who you are before you do anything, because you go into something, you know, with one personality trait, and the thing you want to do requires a different personality trait and doesn't mesh. And you're like, oh, well, this thing's, like you said, the Forex is garbage because this doesn't work. Because, well, no, it's just you didn't figure out where you fit in with the puzzle, and so you quit. But it really comes down to you have to figure out who you are inside, so you know how to better react when you are faced with, you know, these obstacles. Like you're saying, like you lose a trade. Okay, well, I know I act like this, but I also understand like there's this and the mindset, psychology, boom, boom, boom. And you keep going, you keep pushing forward. Because now you understand who you are, you understand the market, so you can continue to push forward and actually see some success.
Yep. Yeah, that's 100% correct.
Boom. Hey, man, this is dope. I mean, I wish I had a lot more questions about Forex, but I got to be honest, I really don't know that much about it.
Yeah, and that's cool. I was, you know, I kind of came into this open-minded. We don't have to talk the whole time about Forex. I love talking about like different mindset and even diving into some different credit stuff too, because I've actually kind of fallen in love with like the credit process as well too. So even though Forex is like know, like my passion. You know, credit is something also that like really interests me too. Like, you know, not even really meaning to. I you know, in the last 4 months, I have like $1,500 just like sitting in like travel points. You know, so we can talk about like credit or anything like that.
Damn. Yeah.
But, like, if you have any like questions on like credit, or you know, maybe someone's listening to this. And, you know, they have some questions on, you know, why someone in their right mind would go out and apply for, you know, 10, 12 credit cards. And, you know, really, really eliminating like a lot of fear just from applying from credit cards or anything.
Yeah. Well, let's dive right into that. Cause I think that's probably one of the biggest things that people have is like, you know, people, they get their credit cards and they start using it, then they get into debt. So they're like, okay, credit cards are evil. And then, you know, but, you know, as we both know, like having more credit cards actually increases your chances of having a higher credit score. So, but now it's all about overcoming that fear of applying for that next card or making that next move within the credit world. So how did you go about, you know, because I mean, you started working with Jeff. What were some of those key things that either he taught you or you learned on your own that really helped you kind of push past that fear bubble and really start going down this path of credit where you're getting these free points, you got all this huge line of credit, and then from then on?
So the first thing is making sure that your credit is set up properly, right? It's kind of like what I was talking about with Forex. It's kind of like a foundation, you know, so you need to make sure your credit is set up properly. You don't ever want to apply for cards if you have more than 50% utilization, on like any card, because it shows that you're higher risk. If you also have like derogatory marks, like missed payments or late payments, you want to go through credit repair and get those removed. Ideally, to get the maximum amount of credit, you want to have a 700 plus credit score, which is honestly pretty easy to do. But there's different factors that go into credit, like credit history, the amount of accounts that you have. So a big myth is that, like, you know, you only need like 1 to 2 credit cards. You actually need 21 accounts to have a perfect 850. And I don't really have a goal to get like a perfect 850. I just wanted access to like, you know, free travel and stuff like that. So the other things are, you know, making your payments on time. So, and then also like your utilization. So making sure that your utilization is anywhere from like 6 to 10% on a few of your cards. You know, there's actually cards that I have, you know, I have like 12 to 13. I think like 6 of them are actually like only activated. So I haven't even activated like 7 of my cards, which I'll probably actually do today. So if you're going to get into credit, you want to make sure that your credit is set up properly, remove any derogatory marks, and you can go to CFPB and actually dispute credit marks. So if you missed a payment, you can actually dispute it, and they're usually pretty good about getting back to you. So it actually goes through the government, and credit card companies have to give you an answer within 14 days. It's actually a law. So if they don't get back to you in 14 days, then you can actually take legal action, I won't go down that rabbit hole because I don't know anything past that. But once your credit's set up, then you can actually apply for credit cards. And what was really cool is you can apply for a couple different cards at the same time. So like in the same sitting. So you have 3 bureaus. You have your TransUnion, your Equifax, and your Experian. You don't want to have any more than 3 hard inquiries in the last 6 months on each bureau. And what's cool is like when you're applying for credit cards, how I got so many cards so fast is, so let's say you're applying for like US Bank and they have 2 cards that you want. You can apply for 1 credit card. If you get an approval, then you can actually apply for another card in that same sitting. Probably like 15, 20 minutes later. And then if you get approved for that card, then you just got 2 cards. Well, it actually only comes out as 1 pull on your credit. So you can get 6 cards off of 1 bureau just from 1 pull. There are 3 pulls. And so if you do that with each bureau, you know, you can get, what is that, like 18 cards? So you can get 18 cards and only have 3 hard pulls on each bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Which is actually what I did.
Mm-hmm. Sheesh. Yeah, because I thought there was like a time window after you apply for a card, like you got to wait a certain amount of months before, like, I guess you're I don't know how to word it, like it kind of like simmers down a bit to where, you know, your credit doesn't get hit as hard if you apply for another one within like a shorter time frame. Is that like a thing?
Well, what will happen is, so it will, if you cards and you get approved for both of them on the bureau, if it shows up as two pulls, you can actually go to the bureau and say, hey, like, you can actually dispute the two inquiries, and you just say, hey, like, they processed my credit, or not my credit, they pulled my score two times and they should have, and they'll go ahead and remove one of them, even though you got both of those cards. So you can get two cards just under one pull. And then you're all right. You want to wait. You want to let those inquiries age before you go and apply for new cards. So I've already gone pretty much through like all of my funding. I think there was like two cards that I got declined on just because I'd never had accounts with like Bank of America. And I think the other one was like Bank of the West. So I've got like access to like 110 or 120,000 in lines of credit right now, which is absolutely absurd. And then in 6 months, once I let those age, then I'll just go through the process again and probably just get even more now that I actually have relationships developed with different banks. And that's another big key factor too. So just even open up like a checking and savings account with certain banks like US Bank, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, the big banks, they'll give you more access to credit the more that they can see your like spending habits and how much you're depositing and how much you make and things like that. So another good way is just to go out and get checking and savings accounts and kind of prepare yourself when you go to apply for credit. And then you can actually start getting more lines of credit based off of that. They'll give you a higher chance of approval if you already have a relationship with them, because even though they're these big conglomerate companies, they're still very relationship based. And it's even better if you can even go into like the branches and actually talk with someone and then talk with them about opening up these credit cards.
Damn, okay. So it really comes down to like it really is like a people business where you gotta build relationships in order to reap the benefits on the back end.
Yep. Yeah, it's, you know, I think I've got like seven bank accounts, like just like checking and savings accounts. And so I got Bank of America, I've got KeyBank, but I don't have Wells Fargo yet. I've got Chase Bank, US Bank, another couple credit unions here, just for checking and savings accounts and solely just to build relationships with them. So down the road, you know, I'm starting to move all my credit over to business credit, which is a whole nother animal. So once they can actually see that, like I'm being responsible on the personal side, open up the business side as well through like my LLC, and then they'll start giving me, you know, more access to like more lines of credit, more cards. And then actually, there's actually some cards that once you've been a client with a certain bank for long enough, they'll actually open up what are like private cards. So like Amex has like their black card, you know, like you have to be like invited to it. And then that's obviously down the road, probably like 3 to 5 years.
Damn. Okay. So when it comes to transitioning from personal credit to business credit, are you're transferring like your balances to business credit, or you're just transferring everything to business credit? Like, what's the benefit of doing that?
Business credit actually doesn't report on personal credit. So the way that I was able to boost my credit score, I think I boosted my credit score like 60 or 70 points just in like a couple of weeks, because I had got two business credit cards, and then I had taken my personal, that like $6,000 that I had like on my card, and transferred it to 0% business card. Well, it took all of that utilization that I had from my personal and transferred it over to the business. So the way that it reports on the personal side is that, you know, my utilization on my cards is like, you know, $100 on like a card that I have a limit of like 18,000 on. So the utilization is very, very low. And that's about like 30% of your score. So my score just shot up so fast once I did that. And then now I'm paying 0% interest on that debt, which I'll pay down, you know, probably like the next 2 to 3 months. And so that's another way that you can use business credit. But the other thing that intrigued me about business credit is just the amount of lines that they'll give you. So on the personal side, they'll usually give you, you know, depending on, it's all dependent on income as well too. But if you're making, let's say you're making like $50,000 a year, The banks will usually lend you 10% on a card of like what you're making. So if you're making $50,000 a year, they'll usually give you a limit right around to like $5,000 to $8,000 or so. So with business credit, you know, you can state what they're looking for is your income projections. So you can actually, and you don't want to like falsify information. I'm not in any way. But if you plan on, you know, your business doing $100,000 a year, you can state that, you know, your business plans to do $100,000. And then the business credit, they'll give you, you know, $10,000 line, $20,000 line. And then you can start opening up lines of credit, which are closer to, you know, like $250,000, $500,000 lines of credit. Those usually have a little bit lower interest rate, like right around like 3 to 5% or so. So the benefits of business credit is that it doesn't report on personal. There's a lot more rewards that go with business. Like I know on the Amex Platinum card, Amex is giving WeWork access. So it's like a $6,000 subscription every year to WeWork for free. So just on the business side, and you can't access that with the personal card. So you also get like 5x back on points on like ad spend. So if you're going to be doing like a lot of like drop shipping and things like that, you can just get so many travel points just from that. And then also they also have like a lot of 0% cards too. So if you got a lot of high interest debt, you can move all your high interest personal debt over to 0% business credit, pay that down. So you're not paying that crazy interest.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
It's pretty cool. It's all a game. It's really cool. And it's really simple. You know, it's something that anybody can do, right? So like Forex is, you got to be a certain type of person to get into Forex, but credit is really where I'm kind of noticing myself being passionate about credit is that I literally believe that I can take someone, you know, even if they have like a 500 credit score and get them to like 700 plus and get them access to like $100,000 in credit. Cause I've done it. And it was a very, very simple process. It just takes time.
Yeah. It's just a process, putting in the work, putting in the hours. But yeah. Just like you've shown, you can do it.
Yeah. Like credit, it doesn't take any skill to do credit. Like literally you can take, you know, you can take a monkey and teach him how to do it with the right information.
Right. Awesome. Yo, Evan, this has been an incredible interview today. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. I got one last question for you, though. So let's say you were the one running this interview, right? So you're the host.
Yep.
But you were interviewing you. What would you ask?
What would I ask? Probably where I plan to be, you know, in like the next year and like what I want to be doing, or like, you know, really like what my goals would be for this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are those goals and what's going on for the next year?
So I want to travel a lot more. I want to actually just getting connected with a lot more traders, and I want to I made my first six figures last year, which I made a goal, but it actually really wasn't that cool. in the like truly like money doesn't buy happiness or whatever. Yeah, my lifestyle kind of increased, but really what I'm finding that I'm passionate about is just helping people. And I really would like to get back to, you know, mentoring people and just helping people get from where they are to like where they want to go. So one of my biggest goals is to not focus so much on money, because when I first got started in entrepreneurship, it was kind of vanity. Now that I look back at it, you know, I set these goals, like make six figures, it'd be so cool, like everything like that. But once you actually do it, you're kind of just like, oh, that was it. And it's not like super fulfilling. And, you know, I think I find a lot more fulfillment when I'm actually helping people, you know, when you're getting other people results. And I think there's so much satisfaction in being able to increase someone else's lifestyle, you know, because like because then it shows like true mastery, right? And that's what's really cool is once you actually master someone and you can actually duplicate yourself into someone else, I think that's like, you know, the highest form of fulfillment is just being able to take the results that you have and then just duplicate it into someone else.
Right. I love that, man. I love that. I even saw something on your story the other day where it was you're not making results. I mean, you have some results goals, but it's not like a priority for you anymore. It's more so the process goals, learning to fall in love with the process as opposed to the end result.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, again, like when I first started in like entrepreneurship, you know, I had a goal, make $100,000. Well, the problem with that was that, you know, I was getting into, like I started like one business and then I was getting my hands into like a network marketing business. I was also trying to like crypto, you know, like all these different things, right? Because I was just like, man, like if I have five income streams, that'll hit $100,000. Well, you're going to be spinning your tires during that. And so what you want to do is focus on one thing and then just master that. And then it's kind of, we talked about this in the mastermind in San Diego. It's kind of like a flywheel. So for me, my thing with like trading is like, I've got my book, I'll have my course, I'll have like my personal mentorship group, like my group consulting. And then I also have like, maybe like webinars or whatever, right? So it's all just going to funnel into itself. And so all I need to do to hit my goals is to just keep putting in, the processes that will get me those results. Because I was talking about, you know, you can make a result goal, like make X amount of income or help X amount of people. But it's a lot of people focus. So what happens, the way that our minds work is that they see the goal, they see the result, but they don't actually know the processes that they need to put into place to actually get those results. And that's where the results happen, is actually the work that people are afraid of doing. So going to the gym. So I love this example. Let's say someone says, you know, they can't eat a certain food, right? That's the result, because they want to be, you know, they want to lose like 10 pounds, right? So what you actually need to do is ask yourself, what do I need to do to lose these 10 pounds? Well, you probably just need to eat healthy and just go to the gym consistently, right? And that's the actual process. So if you can take your result and chunk it down into like a process, my goal is to lose 10 pounds. What is the process that I need to get there? You know, I need to go to the gym X amount of week and I need to eat healthy, you know, and then it just makes it so much more simple, you know, and if you're consistent with that, then you actually hit your result and then you'll just create so much momentum from that. And then you go, well, now that I lost 10 pounds, now I want to be a percent of body fat. And then you can really start, you know, and you're an expert on this field too. I don't know too much about this, but so if you want to be like a percent body fat, well, then you can probably start diving into like specific foods that you can eat, right? And then you can really start, you know, getting into like mastery. So then you can go, you know, if you want to be a certain, you know, goal weight, like if you want to be a certain body fat, like goal weight, you know, then you can say, I'm going to eat these types of foods because these are like best for my body. And I need to do these types of workouts because this is what will also gain mass and also like shred fat. Right. So, you know, maybe you do like high intensity intervals or whatever it may be. And then you can just make goals based off of that process. And as long as you're consistent with the process, eventually you're going to reach your results.
Right. Yeah. You hit that nail right on the head. I mean, fitness is very cut and dry. It's just a matter of finding those process steps, you know, just moving, just eating healthy, and you're on your way. I mean, it's really just that easy. And that comes down to just about anything. You can really deconstruct something to the simplest, you know, pieces, simplest bite-sized pieces, and just do those things every single day. Eventually you'll see the end result you're looking for.
Yep. Yeah. And so like another example too, like anybody that wants to get into credit or you know, Forex, you know, a goal that you can do is, you know, like if you want to master credit, you know, one thing that I did when I first got started into Jeff's mentorship was I was just going to watch a video a day. Right. And that's what I did. And by watching a video a day, I eventually just learned everything just by consuming that information, to where it's like if I, you know, just made a goal just to get like 800 credit score, and that's, I was just going balls to the wall, just trying to get an 800 credit score, not actually going through like the correct processes, you know, then it actually been like more detrimental. So biggest tip would just to be like, fall in love with the process.
Boom. Yeah, another Gary V on the phone here.
Awesome. Cool, brother. But it's been a pleasure. If you have any questions outside of this, hit me up. If you are listening to this podcast, if you follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is I am Evan Jenkins. And I'd love to connect with you. Shoot me a DM, Forex credit related, or if you just want to talk, I'm always down just to chat.
Boom. Appreciate it, Evan. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And everybody, thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Young, Healthy, and Wealthy. And until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. My name is Chase Henderfit. I am your host. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to DM me on Instagram at Chase_Henderfit. And I have one favor to ask. Please just share this episode with one person. You never know who it could help impact. And if you share it on your Instagram story, I'll repost it on mine. So until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.